Hey, so this week has been intense. There's been a lot going on, but we're okay because we're here and it's all good. The world has not quite ended. It is not quite over. We're still in the race. Let's do this. I am the May Queen in your eyes, gifted by the gods, early. Eagerly unwrapped by your earnest hands, with poppies in my hair and your love in my heart. But truthfully, I am 27 beads of amethyst, held in place with snowy silver, that you wear on your wrist, February born and full of bliss. You imagine me in a role I have learned to perfect, playing the prefect of the parade, pulling summer towards springtime, pure as sunshine, climbing up the tree of time to edge closer to your history, tempted to a throne that requires revision of my existence. I reign from your knee, being everything you need, sending sweet pea cupcakes to all my competition so I can keep my crown until the day I die. We should start as we mean to go on. So go ahead, let me sleep in your head, let me under your skin, begin the best mistake you'll ever make. Drink poison from my veins, vainly staring at our love that supersedes everything we've ever seen. Because we are exceptional, essential, life-changing love. And I know that because you look at me like I am the magical May Queen. I actually talk a lot about murdering people for a Guardian reading pacifist, but I promise I will not murder anybody in the pursuit of love. Not that you guys will know about anyway. No, seriously. I certainly am not growing sweet peas in my garden to be able to poison people. Oh God. Yet another episode where I'm going to end up on a watch list, and we're not even 5 minutes in. But you know, it's fine. I hope that you guys will break me out of prison if it comes to that. You can start like a Justice for Jennifer hashtag on the Twitter. That would be very, very grateful. I'd be very grateful for that. And I would definitely not give you poisoned cupcakes to thank you. I'd give you something that wouldn't kill you. Now I've got to say it. I'm not going to murder anyone, I swear. I promise. Anyway. no, but I was kind of looking at, you know, this kind of idea of, like, this kind of mystical, strange, almost symbiotic kind of relationship that had these kind of really sort of terrifying aspect. And I just, because I was thinking about Midsommar again. I talked about that a little while ago, the movie Midsommar. And so I was thinking about that kind of imagery, you know. I don't really remember sort of experiencing that whole kind of May Day thing in the UK, really. I don't think it was really a thing in the South. I don't know if anyone else does it, but I really kind of got sort of fell down a rabbit hole researching it after I saw the film, and I was so interested by the imagery and things like that, and so I decided I wanted to write something about it. And all I had was, I'm the May Queen, and I didn't really know where to go from there, and I just so I just kind of had all these other ideas that kind of came up along the way, and of course it ended in cupcake related murder, which is very on brand. Imagine if I like release a recipe book in a few years and nobody suspects a thing, and it's really just a cover for me to murder all the people trying to steal my relationship. Like, wouldn't that be fun? No, not fun. Oh, God. Okay, yeah, again, just to reiterate, not going to murder anybody, I promise. Christmas since late November. You'll remember that I was nervous but knowledgeable, talking about the bodies on the bottom of the blue and brown as we watched the winter lights reflect on the rain's mother. I had swiped and swiped until it felt just right. And by that, I mean my hand and my heart had been tired, so I retired into awkward app small talk with you, because fuck it, you'll do. And I agreed to meet for coffee and conversation on the South Bank. It should be noted that I don't like coffee. I began to wonder whether my body would join the circus of corpses and whether I'd mind the selfie that I'd mandated my mother to provide to the news being displayed in full view, because as lovely as I looked, being lovely and lost in the wayward waves of the River Thames would be extremely inconvenient because, well, I'd be dead, so I couldn't enjoy the attention. It should be noted that I don't like being murdered. I began to regret my mention of the many mischievous murders that began as beautiful moments, well-meaning lonely nights losing their spark in the darkness of drowning, dancing with dolphins to the sound of sirens. Paranoid, I pondered how the night would end for me and whether I'd put the whole idea in your head in the first place. It should be noted that I don't like swimming. I actually can't. I stared into the eye of the skyline, applying coat after coat of lip balm as your coat buttons gossiped with your hands about their plans. As it all turns out, you just hoped to take me home. I'd have preferred the murder, to be honest. So, apparently, there are lots of bodies that get pulled out of the Thames, which really makes the many times I have sat and just stared out at that river quite creepy, because I mean, Jesus, what's in there? I mean, I'd always been a bit suspicious because it is quite murky, but I really just thought that was the air pollution. Honestly, I thought it was just like a joke when people said there were bodies and stuff in there, but I've been doing some research, and holy shit, I mean, it's very upsetting. It's very, very upsetting. And I think I talked about this before when I read something about how I was in Gravesend down by the ferry. And if you're skeptical, skip ahead a few minutes, but whatever. I felt like this presence, and it's very spooky, and it felt like something bad had happened. And now, knowing that there are a ton of bodies apparently at the bottom of the River Thames, makes me think, well, maybe I was right and there really was somebody trying to let me know, hey, you know, murder ahoy, you know. And so I just sort of started thinking, well, what if somebody decided to murder me? I do genuinely get that feeling every time I go on a date. I think, well, what if they're trying to murder me? And because I live in the South, and a lot of people, like, we, you know, will agree to go up to London and it'll be nice. Everyone loves London, right? But pretty much all the time when you go on a date to London, at some point you'll end up at the South Bank walking down the river. And I don't know. So it kind of makes me think, well, are they taking me here so it's easier to hide the evidence when they horrifically kill me? Maybe. But actually, I think it's just, there is some kind of motorbike nonsense going on outside. I don't know what that is. But anyway, yes, I think it's because it's romantic, I suppose, looking at the river and all the lights. And because when that poem is sort of set sort of around sort of Christmas time when the Christmas lights are up. But to be quite honest with you, London is very sort of flashy in that most times of the year. So I suppose walking down the river does feel very romantic. But it can also feel a bit like you're sort of the opening scene of one of those sort of murky crime dramas where, you know, there's a cop and they've got a bunch of personal problems, but they've got to solve a murder. You know what I mean? So I often think about what would happen if I suddenly died and I didn't have time to prepare. I know for a fact that if I disappeared or I was murdered or something, I know that, you know, my mum, she has pictures of me that she loves, and she put one of those on the news. And I'd be like, no, mum, stop. What are you doing? Use one of these, for God's sake. But I mean, can you be like a missing picture on the news if it's like with a Snapchat filter? I don't know. If there are any journalists listening who know the answer to that, please get back to me and let me know, because I might need to put some intel into my will and you know, see what I can do about that. I have, oh God, they're back. Oh, what if they've come to murder me? No, it'll be fine. A couple of years ago, I did actually like organize some stuff for if I die. I got about as far as doing the playlist for my funeral. And as I mentioned previously on the show, mentioning that if anyone cremates me, there will be hell to pay. But that's really it. I guess in a way I'm kind of thinking, well, if I plan all these things out, isn't it like tempting fate and saying, look, she's got it all organized, may as well just kill her off now. So, you know, but if I don't do it, then God knows what everyone's gonna do. Like, what if my mum uses an ugly picture of me on the news? What if they play Ed Sheeran? I mean, it was a tweet I saw the other day that actually made me think about that specifically. This guy, I can't remember the exact wording of the tweet, but he basically says, like, the basis of it is what if they play Ed Sheeran at my funeral? Shit like that gets me. You know what I mean? And that's why I made the playlist. And it's on my phone, it's on my iCloud. And I've got like a little document on my computer, and that's sort of as far as my will goes at this current time. This is the playlist I want played at my funeral, and don't you dare cremate me. So should I plan for these things? Like, there are some people and they pay into funeral plans and shit like that, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. I hope that people say nice things about me, you know. But like genuine things. Like, I don't want like a bunch of people that don't even like me now to be like, oh, she was such a great person, I loved her so much. Because I'm just going to be like lurking around as a ghost, like, bitch, you thought. Really? I don't know. But maybe that'll be my excuse the next time I go to some kind of family event and they're like, so how's your love life? And I'll be like, look, I'm not trying to get murdered. I can't go on dates. I will be murdered. It's not going to happen. I'm staying single for self-preservation, you know, because I'm not out here trying to die. But I should stress, nobody that I've ever been on a date with has actually tried to murder me at this point. So, you know, points for them for not being murderers. Are you looking for a platform where you can have your voice heard? Find your home and find your voice on Rumble, the brand new video platform where you can share your thoughts, express your passions, and find like-minded people and creators. Download Rumble from the App Store or visit rumble.me to find out more. In this house, we stand democracy because democracy is very good. I actually spoke a couple of weeks ago about how I felt very grateful to live in a country that had a pretty good, good handle on that. But as always happens, the government are at it again, lads, and it's all gone to shit. So, Boris Johnson, our beloved twat of a prime minister, has now confirmed that he will be suspending parliament for a month, which limits the time that MPs have to essentially scrutinise and deal with his plans. So basically he will, it makes it easier for him if he wants to, which it looks very clear he does, to force the UK out of the EU regardless of whether we have a deal in place or not, regardless of whether preparations are ready or not, on October the 31st. So basically it means MPs have less time to try and stop him from throwing us off a cliff, potentially. And I mean, so quite a few people have been very clear that this is not great. The Speaker of the House said it was a constitutional outrage. There are protests happening up and down the country because people are pissed. You know, basically what this means is he's essentially fucking with the way that Parliament is supposed to work so he can get his own way, which is not, it's not democratic. It's just not. I mean, it limits the time that people will have to be able to express what their constituents want. It limits the time that people will have to look at what's actually going to happen. It's just insane. I mean, he says that the reason he's doing it is so that he can, you know, get started on his priorities, which are apparently the health service, education and policing. But I don't think that anyone's really buying that. I really, really don't. I mean, he's just so full of shit. Like, everything he says is such nonsense. I hate him so much. So what he's planning to do, he's setting the date for a Queen's speech and the opening of Parliament, which basically restarts Parliament and sets off a new session, which normally happens, you know, every year, but it doesn't normally happen halfway through a session. It is not normal to do it halfway through, and there is no real need for him to do so, realistically speaking. So anything that was currently on the way through Parliament is cancelled, essentially. And everything basically starts new. And it's just, it's irresponsible. It's reckless. And it's not in the national interest. It's not what's good for the country. It's what's good for him, because it means that he can just force through whatever he wants. Nobody has any time to scrutinise it. Nobody has any time to look at what he's actually doing. Nobody has any time to try and stop him if what he's doing isn't in the national interest. He can just do what he fucking wants, basically. And that is not the way that a prime minister should behave. I mean, I know that that's basically a pointless thing to say when it comes to Boris Johnson, because nothing he really does is the way that a prime minister should behave. He's a fucking moron. But for God's sake, you wouldn't think he'd be so blatant in his nonsense, right? I mean, and one of the most frustrating parts is there are a lot of important things that are on the way through Parliament at the moment that essentially will just be kicked aside so he can do whatever the fuck he wants. One of the really important things is the domestic violence bill, which a lot of people have worked very hard on, and it was a priority, and now it's probably going to get mugged off so that Boris can play dictator or whatever he wants to do. And it's just, I mean, I was, when it was announced, it was like, I was surprised, but I was not surprised, because this is the kind of thing I would expect from him. I just didn't expect him to be so blatant about it. You know what I mean? I thought he would at least have, I don't know, just, I guess, the decency to at least wait a little while before he started being a twat. You know what I mean? I don't know. But people are mad at Boris. There's protests all over the country. People online, there's been things trending about it for days of people, you know, being angry and upset about this. People are angry at the Queen as well. I mean, because the Queen approved the proroguing of Parliament. She approved that. Boris requested it. She said yes. I guess, in fairness to her, she didn't really realistically have a choice. I mean, I suppose on paper, yes, she could have said no. But in the real world, it just wasn't realistic. It wasn't going to happen. Which is frustrating for people. And I feel that a lot of people are now questioning what is the point of having the monarchy. Because one of the major arguments that a lot of monarchists have made for why having the royal family is good, there's always the obvious one, oh, they're good for tourism. But the other one has always been, you know, they are there to protect us if the government goes batshit. They are there to step in and say no. But realistically, that's not going to happen. Realistically speaking, it's not. It just isn't. And it hasn't now. And I think there are some people that are frustrated because, you know, we are contributing to their life, and they are given every advantage and every privilege in life, and then at the big moment when they're supposed to step in and do something, they don't. The royal family does not do anything, and so I think a lot of people are frustrated about that. And I think I'd be deeply angry about that too, were it not for the fact that I honestly did not expect any better of them. I didn't think they were going to swoop in and save people, to be real. So I guess you can't be disappointed if you never had high expectations in the first place. I mean, I do think that the royal family is honestly a bit of a tired tradition. I don't really care for any of them apart from Meghan. I like her, she's nice, but the rest of them I'm like, meh, you know, because I mean, they don't, it's whatever. But I understand why people are angry at the Queen. I get it. And I understand why people are angry with the government too, because it is a huge abuse of power. This is not a respectable and sensible way to proceed. And he's not doing it because he cares about the country or he thinks it's the best thing for the country. He's doing it because it's useful to him. And it's difficult because I kind of wonder where the solution comes from, because the opposition parties are fighting amongst themselves for the most part. And, you know, it's like, where do we go from here? What do we do now? So it's frustrating, you know, seeing a bunch of people that are supposed to be in charge because they are, you know, supposed to be able to do this. They're supposed to be able to look after the people that are here. They are supposed to be able to lead. They are supposed to be sensible and, you know, doing what's best for people. And they can't. And now they've done something so selfish and so damaging. And it just makes you need to just sort of take a moment and be like, wow, is this real life? What the fuck? It's hard to take in, I think. And one of the most annoying parts as well is that many members of Boris's crap cabinet all said that they thought that proroguing was undemocratic and it was bad and that it shouldn't be done. And now all of them have just sat by and done nothing while he does it. Because of course they did. Because I suppose having a nice ministerial car and having the extra money of being in the cabinet and having that acclaim of being in government means more to them than standing up for what they believe in and doing the right thing. And I just, at this point, when I see that the Conservative Party are still doing okay in the polls, I just think, what the fuck? After everything, you know, after everything, the absolute fucking mess they've made with Brexit, whichever side of the debate you're on, Leave or Remain, I think you can probably say, if you're honest with yourself, the Tories have made a right mess. You know, the huge issues with, you know, things that, you know, vulnerable people have had to go through under this government and under previous Conservative administrations, the targeting almost of disabled people, the older people in the country, you know, constantly taking things away from them, the things that they need to support themselves, the things they need to live a safe and happy life, are just being taken constantly, all the time. The huge cuts to public services, to the police, the health service, schools, just all of this, it's been constant since 2010. How can people look at them and think, yeah, fuck it, I'll have 5 more years of that? I don't get it. Why? I mean, I don't know. I don't really know where we go from here, you know? I mean, fuck knows what Johnson and his crap mates are going to do next. And fuck knows what's going to happen, but what do we do? Like, literally, all the things that this country is proud of, things like our democracy, things like our health service, our schools, public safety, you know, the way that we care for each other, they're all going to shit. And everyone is just like, yeah, I'll take 5 more years of that. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Like, why? Love yourselves. You are to me what Princess Diana is to the Daily Express. If I could, I'd stand in newsagents showing shocked shoppers all the way that Your Majesty manifests, making sure they never forget that some of us were lucky enough to share the planet with you for a few brief moments. I would pull them close to the paper rack, insisting to the point of incoherence that you were the very essence of elegance, insisting that I didn't cry alone when you said goodbye, because the world stood weeping with me as I dried all of our tears with a handkerchief embroidered with your image, my hands wet with ink and my loneliness. I, like the Daily Express, am not known to exaggerate, I promise. Okay, so I know I said earlier about not really being a huge monarchist or anything, not really being like hugely obsessed with the royal family, but I, like most people, am an unashamed Princess Diana stan. We love her, you know, because she was different though. She was hashtag not like the other royals, you know. She had... Because, I mean, obviously, most of the royal family, they do, like, outreach work. They do a lot of charity work. But with a lot of them, they feel very far away and, you know, like, they aren't regular people, I guess. I don't know. But I don't know. I guess Diana had something different about her. She just seemed very, very much like a normal person who just happened to be a princess, I guess. There's something very human about her. I kind of get that same kind of vibe from Meghan. I think that's maybe why I like her so much. But anyway, it's as I'm recording this, I'm recording it on the Saturday, and it is the 22nd anniversary of Princess Diana's death. And there are a lot of people talking about it on social media. So I was just thinking about that. And then it reminded me of a poem where I mentioned her. So I thought, I'll just share that. But the Daily Express are obsessed with Princess Diana. Like, I mean, everyone loves her. I've never really met anyone that didn't like Princess Diana. But they are obsessed with her. Like, for context, even on, like, important historical events where pretty much every other newspaper was talking about something important that happened, they would post something normally quite mundane and random about Princess Diana, even like years after she had died. Like during, it was on the anniversary of the London bombings in July. On the first anniversary, pretty much every other newspaper posted, on their front cover, some kind of tribute to the victims and things like that. But the Express had a front page about Diana. When, you know, just every opportunity, they'll be like, here's something about Diana. And it's like, okay, right? All right then. So they have kind of got a reputation of being kind of obsessed with her. And so when I was writing that, I was kind of thinking, you know, let me try and find someone who loves me as much as the Daily Express loves Princess Diana. And I still hope to one day find that kind of love, as destructive and crazy as it may be. Playing where we met, my voice shaking the way my heart does when you approach, encroaching and invading on the safety of my single life, where my mind was mine. I'm reading thinly veiled things, trying to keep it casual so I can carry on creating an image where I'm intricately independent, insulated from the effects of your affection. but you are standing at the back, glistening in golden lights as I pour out my mind, pretending I don't mind that I am yours, because you are mine. It's kind of half about how nervous I get before performances, and half about this recurring dream I have where I'm at a performance and I'm reading something and then the person I wrote about is sat there looking at me like, hey bitch. And I'm like, not you. Oh my god. And also it's kind of half about how I just feel really sort of some kind of way about the whole feeling a lot about a person and how it affects the work that I create. I know that that's three halves and that doesn't really make a whole, it makes like a one and a half, but I never said I was good at maths, so sue me. But I get really nervous before performances actually, and it's weird because I did a lot of performing when I was a kid and when I was growing up, and I don't remember feeling nervous really. I was very excited to always get on stage, and I was really that insufferable, you know, kid who who just every opportunity would just perform and do something, you know. And I never really felt nervous. I did a bit of, you know, that kind of stuff when I was at uni, but not too much. And then when I started doing stuff again, I was very different, because now I have all these feelings of like, what if they don't like me? What if they think I'm a bitch? What if they don't like what I'm performing? What if they throw things at me? Which thankfully has never happened. But like when I'm waiting to go up, I just always feel really nervous and really scared. But then within like 10 seconds, I'm fine. I think if I could just like not be present in my body and my mind for like that sort of pre-stage time, that'd be great. But realistically, that's not going to happen. But but just the whole day leading up to it, I'll just be sort of full of dread. Like, oh my God, what if it goes terrible? And then I get there and it turns out I'm worrying for nothing. And also, I don't think my recurring dream is going to come true, because, you know, I don't know. Most of the time when I write something about someone, it's a long time away from them. So realistically, I don't think that they would know. And they would be keeping up with my life. I don't know. Although I thought that, and it turns out that some people do. I got a text from somebody the other day, and it turns out that they're subscribed to my YouTube, and they follow me on social media and stuff, and they're keeping up with what I'm doing. And I'm like, oh, well, that's... I mean, I don't know. When it's someone I know in like real life, I don't know, it feels invasive, which is stupid, because I'm here and I'm putting this sort of stuff out on the internet for people to see or to listen to or to read or whatever. But then when it's someone that I actually know, I'm like, ew, what the fuck? What are you doing, stalker? Which is nonsense, but it's just how I feel, damn it, you know? So... I don't know. Maybe that recurring dream will happen in reality, and well, I'll be sure to write an angsty poem and tell you all about it. Get the new album, Sleepwalking, by Jennifer Wong,
Available now on iTunes, Spotify, and all major streaming services and digital stores. Find the deluxe edition exclusively on Bandcamp and JenniferWan.com, featuring the new single, Calais and Dover.
That's all for this week's episode, but you can catch me back next week, or I'll be here with you and we'll talk about things and it'll be lots of fun. Until then, though, you can check out my website, which is jenniferwan.com. There's lots of fun stuff on there, videos, audio stuff, links to where you can find my other projects. You can support the show on Patreon if that's something that you have ever felt like you wanted to do. Patreon subscribers get lots of exclusive content and lots of early content. Thank you to my Patreon supporters, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Katie, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, and Eleanor. You guys are the bestest. You can also support the show with one-off donations on PayPal or Ko-fi. The links for all of those are in the description. I will be performing in London next month. Well, technically when I release this, it'll be this month, but I'm recording this still in August. So basically it's on the 6th of September, in London at the Poetry Cafe. So you can find the details of that, on my website. And you can find that in the description as well. But until then, and until the next episode, I will see you soon. Good night, my love.